Welcome to Keeper Chat. My name is Fauna.
And my name is Flora.
And this is our weekly podcast where we chat about animals. We're real-life zookeepers who love animals, love learning about them, and enjoy goofing off. Each week, we'll be discussing a new animal and learning more about them. And as always, nothing we say reflects our organizations, and all of the thoughts and opinions that we express are our own. So with that, let's get grimy.
Yes. The grimiest.
So, I know, I can't wait to get grimy. Flora, how was work this week?
Okay, you know how, like, sometimes work is just the pits?
Yeah.
Well, today actually wasn't that bad.
Oh, cool, dude. That's cool.
I did send you a Snapchat earlier today. I think you received it.
I did.
It was of a tiny baby goat.
That goat, it was like 98% of its existence was screaming.
Yes.
The perfect ratio.
All it did was scream, and all it wanted to do was, like, lay and sit on me. So, of course, I laid down immediately and put it on my chest and was, like, doing, like, poor zookeeper goat yoga. And it was the best.
They always seem like they're on their tiptoes, don't they?
Yes! But yeah, all he did was scream and just look cute, and then he tried to, like, eat my sweater, and I loved it.
Oh, that's goat food.
So that was my morning, and I was like, Yes, starting the day off right. Then, awesome news, last year, behind my zebra exhibit, I had some secret ducks. Yeah, they're just, like, some wild ducks that I would feed and give water to. And spray down with the hose in the summer. And they came back this year. It's a mallard couple. And I saw them today, and they were, like, eating zebra food. And I was like, oh, my God, my secret ducks came back to me.
Spring ducks.
They know that I am their mother, and I love them.
That's hilarious. Look at you.
I know.
Wildlife warrior.
Yeah, I'm just like, oops, I spilled zebra grain in this puddle for you to eat. Oops.
Oops, enjoy your life.
And they, like, trust me, they just, like, lay there and they let me, like, walk by even though I'm, like, cleaning. They got a bunch of zebra poop and they just hang out.
Oh, those are good ducks.
So today I would say it was, like, a win. I mean, I did have to work until 7 p.m., but I just drank a milkshake. Yeah. So I'm, like, ready to rock and roll.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. That's actually funny because it, like, it sort of solidifies the misconception that zookeepers, like, lay around and play with animals. It's yes. Like exactly what you did today.
Because today I laid on the ground, I put a baby on my chest. And then I just, like, fed stuff. That was, like, my day.
Yeah, let's clarify that. When we said that we never do that, we do that 1% of the time.
Like, yeah, and it's the best 1%, and it makes the 99% that I'm head to toe covered in shit, like, so worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Oh, that's great. All right, well, are you ready to get into this week's animal?
I'm so ready, and I already know what it is. I guessed it last week. It's the dingus.
Oh, you did. Yeah.
Say dongus? I don't remember.
It's one and the same. It's the common versus scientific name. no, this week I decided to do something that just
is
going to spark a lot of conversation. And yeah, so as you guys know, this podcast, if you've listened to all three of our episodes, we just, like, goof around and joke around and are, like, generally idiots about everything we talk about.
Uh-huh.
However,
uh-oh,
there are a few topics within the animal care community that are, I want to say, like, kind of maybe taboo. Maybe not taboo is the right word,
I'm sweating. I don't know what you're going to talk about, and I'm already sweating.
Good. I hope you're sitting on the edge of your seat.
I am.
All right. So this, I'm just going to get into it. This week's animal looks like a fish. It kind of acts like a fish.
Shut up.
It's definitely not a fish. It's a dolphin, dude!
Is it a mammal? Oh my God, it's the dolphin!
It's a dolphin.
I screamed so bad, the dog ran to me.
Yeah, I went with the dolphin.
Oh, that's so good.
Yes, so maybe you're aware, maybe you're not aware. I mean, I know you are since you worked with marine mammals.
Yes.
However, dolphins are marine mammals. In fact, number one.
No way!
Yeah, so they're from, Hold on. I'm already having a stroke. They're mammals, is what I'm trying to say. But they live in the ocean, so they're aquatic.
They do.
But they have all the other characteristic of mammals. So they, like, give live birth. They nurse their young.
Yes.
They have hair in their bodies. They breathe oxygen.
Yes.
All that stuff. applies to dolphins. And in fact, dolphins are sort of just a classification term for a diverse group of aquatic mammals.
For sure.
So, yeah, so more specifically, they're within the order Cetacea. So a lot of times you'll hear them referred to as cetaceans. And that includes things like the very commonly known bottlenose dolphin, porpoises, killer whales. All those guys are considered dolphins.
Yes.
They all kind of fall within that classification. Yeah, so I think most people have a pretty good idea of, like, the bottlenose dolphin is kind of the first thing that comes to their mind.
Flipper? Are you joking my ass? Everybody has Flipper.
Yeah, exactly, that big slippery gray dude. But, like I said, killer whales are part of that as well as our porpoises. So when I'm talking about this animal this week, I figured I would kind of just, like, highlight some of the things of, like, the different species of dolphins. And then we can get into, like, the nitty-gritty, like, get to the topics that everyone wants to see us
get
talk
to those
about.
Deets.
Yeah, those big ones. We'll get to those. So, just a few general facts. Did you know the closest living relative to cetaceans is the hippo? Can you believe that?
No, but I believe it now.
I mean, take it with a grain of salt, because I did get that from Wikipedia.
Well, that's what the show's all about. They're our if we have any sponsor, it is Wikipedia, because they're the best. I mean, I totally can see that. They're like mammals, and they're blubbery, and they love the water.
And by closest living relative, I mean they diverged 40 million years ago.
Right, like distant as all get out.
It's been a while since they've seen each other.
I just love them.
Specifically, the two kind of dolphins that I'm going to be focusing on in this conversation are the killer whale, which everyone knows and loves, and the vaquita, which is a type
vaquita.
Of porpoise. Yes.
That little nugget.
I know. So, cool little tidbit here. Vaquita is Spanish for little cow.
Which is cute.
Isn't
that's
it?
That's exactly what he is.
It's perfect. He's just a little guy. Also, if you guys get the chance, please look at the Wikipedia page for vaquita. I don't know where they got this graphic or why they chose to use it, but there's like a size comparison photo at the top right when you click on vaquita, and it's like, it's just this horrible like arrangement of like a shadowed man hovering over this poor little vaquita.
Fauna, a graphic artist made that, so like maybe be a little bit more respectful, because that is a beautiful man. Look at his fists. Oh my god.
I hate it.
I'm
it's
putting
the
that
shadow
on
man.
Instagram immediately.
imagine that. Imagine like one of the seven people that listens to this is the guy that wrote that up, and I'm just like shitting on his work.
He looks like the Sock'em, like Bop'em robot. You remember those little motherfuckers? Yes. And with like a scuba tank on. Look at his fists.
Why? Okay, but like, why is he so close to that poor little boy?
It's threatening, isn't it?
It really is. I didn't like it. I was like, just
and look
the placement.
At how innocent that
know.
Vaquita is.
I know. He's like, get away.
Please stop following me.
No, sir. Please don't. So that's something. But vaquitas in particular are endemic to the northern part of the Gulf of California. So that includes like California, obviously, but also areas of Mexico. So the kind of like that little gulf there. They are actually one of the only types of dolphins that don't migrate. Like they're not migrants. So they just kind of stick to that little range, which is kind of unique. Just in general for dolphins. As far as my research here, again, let me just say, I'm not an expert, never worked with marine mammals. I just use the internet, like most of us do. However, I did do fact-checking, which is always important, so
I was gonna
whatever.
Say, we still know more than half the people that get angry on the internet, so it's
that's true. I know, I went out of my way to, like, fact-check a lot of this stuff, so, which you all should do, by the way. But anyways, we'll get into that later. So just in general, dolphins tend to have a really widespread range. It kind of depends on the species that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them tend to prefer like tropical warmer waters, but some of them do better in colder waters. But as far as like their bodies go, I think we all have a really good idea. Dolphins are pretty famous, right?
Yes.
Everyone kind of knows what they look like. But talking about the like kind of wide classification of dolphins, they can range in size from anywhere between around 5.5 feet to around 31 feet. So that small little guy, that 5.5-foot guy, is around 110 pounds, and those are the Maui's dolphin. And the 31-foot big boy, who weighs in around 11 tons, is the, you guessed it, killer whale.
That's a big boy.
Really big boy. So there's a really big range as well as far as like
size differences. So like the Maui dolphin is smaller than the vaquita?
I think they're like pretty comparable.
Whoa. So they're little. Another little nugget of the sea I didn't even know.
I know, little nuggets. Little sea nuggets. Yeah. Sign me up. Give me some ketchup. No, that's terrible.
Why would you say these things?
I don't know. I'm going to get fired. So, dolphins tend to eat a wide variety of seafood. So they eat, like, fish, squid, crustaceans. Killer whales are also known to eat seals, which is badass and kind of a bummer for seals. Sorry.
Don't they also eat penguins? They eat my penguins.
Oh, yeah. That's not so good. Yeah, they eat a lot of stuff. Pretty much, they're very intelligent and they tend to actively hunt kind of all of the species. And so, you know, that's kind of a deadly combination. So they'll kind of go after whatever they can eat.
I don't like it. Leave my penguins alone.
Yeah. But kind of going off that, like, intelligence, it's kind of widely understood, which is cool. I feel like a lot of people don't know kind of the deep and dirty facts about a lot of animals. But right. A lot of people tend to know that dolphins in general are very intelligent, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
most people know that. That's kind of commonplace. But they can teach, learn, cooperate, scheme, and grieve with one another.
Yes.
In addition, there have been a lot of studies on intelligence in various species of dolphins. And one thing in particular that they see quite a bit is that, well, actually several things, is that the neocortex of a lot of species of dolphins have elongated spindle neurons. And those, prior to the year 2007, were only found in hominids. So, like, whoa. In humans, we use these for things like social conduct, emotions, judgment, and, like, recognition, like social recognition. And so the theory is that these same neurons that are present in cetaceans are found in the same areas of the brain that, like, we use them as humans. So it kind of suggests that maybe they perform a similar function.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't been proven, but it's a theory. In addition, cetaceans tend to have a large brain size compared to their body mass. Mm. So that's usually a good indicator of intelligence as well. And something that they are still studying is the possibility of self-awareness.
Yes! Again, the theory is that... I was waiting for you to say that. Otherwise, I was going to interrupt you and be like, they're fucking self-aware!
Yeah, exactly. So, again, this one is still technically a theory because it's kind of hard to prove self-awareness. It's such an abstract concept. But it's pretty widely understood and agreed upon that cetaceans are self-aware.
The coolest thing. So, they have, like, they show a dolphin. So, like, self-awareness is, like, knowing that a picture or an image is, like, of you, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's like, you recognize yourself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they, like, put a mirror, like, half the time if you put a mirror up to an animal, like, if you do it to your dog or a cat, they get scared, right? Because they think it's another animal. They think it's another dog in the room. But what they did with dolphins is that they showed them a mirror image, and then they would touch or they would put something on the mirror. And then instead of the dolphin just looking at that, they would look down at themselves on the part that the...
Yes.
That they would put. So, like, they knew, oh, if you're pointing to my, like, fluke, my tail fluke, and you put, like, a little weird thing on it, I'm going to look down at my tail fluke and see if that's there. Because I know that that is, like, an image of me. Which is, like, the coolest thing!
Yeah, it's
They're
super
smarter
cool.
than, like, human stupid babies. A stupid baby can't do that.
That's true. Cetaceans are better than humans.
Absolutely!
Just, like, hands down. And I think the only other animal that's able to do that they've seen do that is primates.
Yes, for sure.
So, like, it's definitely within that class of, like, highly intelligent animals.
Yeah.
And one cool thing about that, that, like, why it's so important that we understand self-awareness is that it's generally agreed upon in the scientific community that self-awareness is potentially a precursor to metacognitive reasoning is what it's known, but what just basically means that you're able to think about thinking. So you're able to, like, conceptualize the concept of thought. Was that redundant? I don't know. Probably.
I'm really sorry, but this dog just brought me an empty container of yogurt.
Cool.
So I need to go take a moment and just investigate where the fuck it got this. Because it is, in fact, my yogurt. So
what happened to the yogurt in it? Did you eat it?
Well, I don't know, but it's sure as shit gone now. So
Bummer.
Just give me a second. I'm so sorry.
It's cool.
I was wondering what he was doing. He was, like, content with himself, and now I know. It's because he was fucking up my shit.
Gomping some yogurt.
The worst? Yeah, it's right now. Where did you get that? How did you get my yogurt?
Oh. See what happens when you bring yogurt into a home and don't get slurped.
Okay. Why does anyone ever get a fucking dog? I don't know. Okay.
Man's best friend. All right. I'm sorry. So, no, that's fine. Did you find the source of the yogurt?
Yeah, he just dug through my work bag and got my empty yogurt container that, well, it was in a shut Tupperware. I was going to take it home and recycle it. Mm-hmm. So I put it in a Tupperware and shut it. He has gone downstairs, gone into my bedroom, opened my work bag, gotten the closed Tupperware out, opened the closed Tupperware, and then licked the remnants of my yogurt.
Cool.
Like, very cool. Good God.
All right, so I'm going to get back to talking about dolphins.
Please do.
Cool. Save me. So dolphins have streamlined bodies and two limbs, which are their modified flippers. So mm-hmm. obviously used to help them swim. Mm-hmm. They can travel upwards of around 35 miles an hour, which is impressive. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're super slippery and they can get all around. In addition to kind of that intelligence, I guess, linked to it, you could say, is the fact that they can also do a lot of really cool, like, fun, playful things. So they have a lot of different vocalizations that are mainly communicated through the form of clicks and whistles.
Mm-hmm.
And just in general, I guess we'll get into differences in a bit, but, like, dolphins are generally more talkative than porpoises. Like, okay. What you think of as, like, the bottlenose dolphin okay. is generally more talkative than, like, a porpoise. But they also have extremely well-developed hearing that is adapted for both air and water. So they can hear in air and in water. And it's actually so well developed that if they were to be blind or go blind for whatever reason, they could still easily survive. Like, that's not a big deal. They'd just, like, be swimming around and know
who
exactly
needs
what's going
eyes?
On. Exactly. So as far as, like, mating and reproduction goes, there is usually some form of, like, sexual dimorphism, which is just a big old fancy word for, like, the boys and girls look different.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
whether that be they're bigger than each other or whatever, they have different markings. But there's usually some form of that across the species. And the males tend to multiply The males tend to mate with multiple females every year, while the females mate every 2 to 3 years, which makes sense because they're usually pregnant and carrying a calf. And then calves are generally born in the spring and summer. And then once they're born, the female that gave birth to them has, like, the full parental responsibility. So she's essentially, like, raising this baby on her own, doing everything. So wow. It's a huge investment for her. I just wanted to talk really quickly, too, since we're kind of talking about, like, their social dynamics and their intelligence, that dolphins are crazy. Like, those guys are nuts. They're just whack. Like, I feel like a couple years ago was when this video came out, but if you haven't already, please go to YouTube and type in dolphin masturbating with dead fish, because it happened, and it happened in front of everyone. Those guys are just, like, so intelligent, they're like, I'm just gonna be weird.
Yes.
So there's this video of this dolphin that's just, like, using this dead, like, just
rotting
disintegrating fish, yeah, to masturbate. I was like, okay, good on ya, I guess.
They do crazy things. They're actually really mean, also.
Yes, yeah. And I was going to say, like, since you've worked with cetaceans, maybe you have some like, cool stories or, like, insight or anything like that.
Yeah, I worked with whales.
Right. Oh, this might be a good segue, then, talking about the difference between dolphins and whales.
Yes.
Okay.
You do it. But I did want to also say that dolphins rape each other and also murder the shit out of each other. Is that,
yes.
Can we talk about that now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, like, I think probably the best known example would be, like, killer whales, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just, like, going out of their way to, like, torture and murder other animals.
Yeah, well, even each
like,
other.
They
think
literally.
It's fun.
Oh, yeah, and each other.
That article, their video or whatever, I don't know, it just happened. An orca and a male, a female orca and a male, killed a baby, and it was the female's baby.
That's messed up.
So what is that, like, infanticide? Infanticide?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So she, like, went out of her way. Yeah, a male orca and its own mother worked together to kill a newborn calf.
That's
why?
Weird.
Why? And then they have, there's like videos you can see dolphins like chucking other dolphins. Their tail fluke is so strong they can like chuck it out of the water and they just beat the shit to death. I mean, they're like really gnarly. I feel like, I mean,
yeah.
If you think about like primates and humans, I mean, we're all really aggressive too. So there's like
yes.
something to that.
Yeah, I think that's something just in general when they see like advanced cognitive abilities, there's also tends to be the advanced ability to premeditate and act on aggression.
Yeah.
Which is, if you think about it, like messed up, but it makes a lot of sense too. So, yeah. No, I think that's really important because I think people always assume dolphins are like really fun and
super
friendly.
Super friendly. No.
They're like murder boys.
Okay, side note. I went to the orca Wikipedia page. It also uses that same man in its size comparison, but he has like a cool like track suit. Like he has like a cool like neon thing on his scuba suit. I also then went to beluga whale because I did work with beluga whales. And it also uses the same man with them. So that guy gets around. He's met all the marine mammals of the world.
Mm-hmm.
He knows them all.
Who is that man?
I don't know.
I think step one, find that man.
We've
step two,
find that man.
Learn from him. Yeah, so let's talk really quick about the difference between a dolphin and a whale.
Yes.
And then maybe you can like tell us some like cool whale stuff. So
for sure.
Dolphins, as I already said, include like porpoises, killer whales, bottlenose dolphins. All those guys are classified as dolphins.
Yeah.
And can dolphins.
Can I like
go ahead.
Guess something? I
don't
even
totally.
Know if it's real.
No, totally.
Do only dolphins have a dorsal fin?
I don't know. Didn't
do
actually
whales
look into
have
that.
Like,
I don't think so.
Because like a whale, oh no. Well, yeah, like a whale, I guess they have little ones.
Yeah, I don't think that's like a distinguishing characteristic.
I don't think
them.
So either.
I don't think that's like a dolphin versus whale thing.
Because I guess humpback whales, they have that little like, like it's like tiny.
Right.
Okay, well then just ignore everything I've ever said. Again.
You're supposed to be the cetacean expert.
Hey, homie, the whale I worked with ain't got no goddamn dorsal fin.
So dolphins are what's known as toothed whales, meaning they have teeth. That's pretty self-explanatory.
They do.
And actually, I think there are minor variations. Like, typical, like, dolphins, like, bottlenose dolphins have, like, conical teeth, like, cone-shaped teeth. Whereas, like, porpoises, like the vaquita, tend to have, like, spade-shaped teeth. So that's, like, a minor variation. But, just in general, dolphins have teeth. And they also have one blowhole. However, whales have what's known as a baleen, which is a whale bone, which just sounds nuts. But I did some digging on the internet about that, and a baleen, according, again, to Wikipedia, take this all with a grain of salt, is a filter feeder system inside the mouths of whales, like baleen whales. So it works when a whale opens his mouth and it's, like, sucking all the water in and, like, trying to get all the, like, little krill in. So the whale, like, sucks it in through the baleen and pushes the water out. And so it, like, it's, like, essentially a comb. And so it just, like, filters all of the krill and stuff out. And so the krill stays inside their mouth, but the water can go out. So that's how they, like, eat all the krill, which is cool. So, like, if you watch, like, Finding Nemo, perfect example of a baleen.
Right. And that's why you're seeing them, like, breach, because they're grabbing all the shit they can. I mean, not all whales, because, yeah, whatever. But, it, like, the baleens, you see them, like, breach out of the water with their, like, giant mouth open.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, weird, guzzard? Gillet?
Guzzard?
What is that? Is it guzzard? Is that the word I'm looking for? Like that, gullet. They're gullet.
Blah, I think blah, you blah. Can, I think you can find gizzard and gullet.
Man, I don't even know anymore.
But also baleen whales, in addition to that whalebone, have two blowholes. Apparently.
What? Do what?
I don't know. Let's not focus on that, because who knows if that's right. But
I think it is, because I think they have, like, well, no, because... What?
anyways.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing. I did work with the fucking weirdest of the whales.
That's true.
Because belugas are the only ones... Belugas and narwhals are the only ones in, like, their family. So of all the whales, I worked with the fucking reject weird-ass whales. So I can't...
The mythical whales.
Yeah, like, you know, one of them's got a fucking horn and the other one's got this juicy melon thing on its forehead. So I can't...
Pick your weapon, horn or melon.
I feel like maybe my, like, experience, like, your results may vary. Like, mine only had one blowhole as far as I know.
Well, yeah, I don't know. This is just the classification between dolphins and baleen whales. So,
Okay.
It's like a not all whale situation.
Yes. Because my boys only had the one.
Right. So, like, just in general, a good rule of thumb is, like, all dolphins are considered whales, but not all whales are considered dolphins.
Yes.
So, if that helps anyone, I don't know if it will.
It hurts my brain almost more, I think.
Okay, sorry. I guess, and then everyone knows, like, with dolphins, they have the layer of fat known as blubber underneath their skin.
Yeah.
Which, like, helps keep them warm in, like, colder waters. So, now that we got all that out of the way, and now that we're all on the same page, I want to talk about several things.
Can several we first talk things. About my favorite dolphin?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because the Commerson's dolphin is my favorite dolphin.
Oh, why is that?
Because it is a little sea cow. It's black and white, and it's very pretty.
Oh.
And that's my only reason I like it, is that it's cute.
That's all you need.
But yeah, it's like a little sea Dalmatian. He's just black and white, and he looks all weird.
Oh, that's fun.
It is fun.
Okay.
I'm done really with my comment.
No, it's cool. Really quick before we get into the serious stuff, do you have any fun, like, whale stories? I mean, this is a show about dolphins, but I guess let's talk about all ocean life.
It's time to hijack the shit out of it with my whale facts. Yeah, I mean, I worked with belugas for a little bit, and they're great. They're very intelligent. They're pretty spunky.
Yeah.
But their intelligence is, like, out of this world. So, of course, we're training them and, like, working with them up to 8 times a day. We did up to 8 training sessions. And that is stimulating them mentally and physically. And they love it because they get rewarded for it. And they love getting fish. It's their favorite thing in the world. So, belugas are actually called, like, the canaries of the sea. They're one of the most vocal whales. They make a lot of high-pitched, crazy noises. So, we had a lot of their vocalizations, like, on cue that we could, like, ask for, and they would do it. And a lot of those are called what we call captured. So when you're training a dog to sit, sometimes you just force it to sit, right? You push on its butt and it sits down, and then you're like, sit. And then after a while, it gets it. Well, with big animals, wild animals, you can't really do that. So one of the training techniques is just called capturing. So it's when you see them do something that you want them to do, and you're like, yes, good. And then you're hoping that they, like, do it more and they realize that that's what you want them to do. So you can, like, capture, like, natural behaviors or natural stuff. So one of our whales was younger, and so he was just a giant doof. And we had this, like, squeaky gate that would always make this, like, noise. And he was just, like, he'd just come out of the water and make squeaky gate. So then the trainers captured it, and then we called it squeaky gate, and we asked him to do it all the time, and he loved it because he made the noise. Like, he totally came up with that all on his own. He's like, I'm going to mimic that gate noise.
That's so creative.
Yeah. Cute little boy.
Cetaceans are amazing. Like we said, like, yeah, they can be huge assholes and, like, murder their babies and rape each other, but they can also be really cool.
Yes.
And, like, really fun and creative and really sweet, so.
Yeah.
It's cool. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about, like, some of the threats that these animals face, and I'm going to focus primarily on the vaquita.
Okay, because that one's dead. It's dying.
It's 90% not so dead. So, the conservation situation on the vaquita is really, really not good. So, those guys are listed on the IUCN Red List as critically endangered. And yeah, they're in fact the most endangered cetacean in the entire world, which is
bad.
Not so good. So, to kind of put some things in perspective here, they've been considered critically endangered since 1996.
God.
And in 1997, there was a census done on their population, and it was determined they had approximately 567 individuals left, which is crazy small population size. Like, a lot of other animals that are considered critically endangered have, you know, a few 10,000.
Yes.
Like, they may have, like, 20 to 50,000 animals, and they're still considered critically endangered.
Just put that into perspective. So, you went to a college, like, there was a, okay, I went to a really tiny college. There was 1,000 kids. So cut that in half and then be like, you're the last people on earth. You better have sex right now to save yourselves. And, like, those are the the worst ones. They don't even like each other.
Yeah, it's not so good. Plus, there's a good chance you're all related, which we'll get into.
This is our bottleneck.
Yeah, so not so good. So fast forward to 2008, almost 10 years after that population census of 567. So in 2008, their population about halved to 245.
Jesus.
They did another census in 2015, and their population dropped to 59 individuals.
Oh my God!
In 2017, their total population is around 30. That's it in the entire world. There are 30 individuals.
They're dead. They're gone.
And there's, and there's continued observed decline, which is just so, so bad. And one thing that they saw in particular, I mean, a lot of things were troubling, but one thing in particular was that all of the mature individuals of that species exist in one subpopulation.
No!
Which means, that means that there's no outside genetics coming in. They're all just breeding with each other, which is, if they can breed at all. So, conservationists have classified them as in a catastrophic decline, which is really, really unfortunate. So, some of the main threats that they're facing, that they've faced for a really long time and have kind of led to this, is, first off, like I said, they exist only in the Gulf of California. So they have a very small range. And so any habitat disruption that happens there is going to affect them much more than it would an animal that has a much wider range.
Right.
Because they can't really leave. They can't go anywhere. That's where they live. So one of the biggest threats that they face is what's known as bycatch. Have you heard of that before?
I have.
Okay. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So whenever I worked with cetaceans, and even now I work with penguins, so I'm feeding out a lot of fish, and we would, of course, get the fish sent to us frozen, and then we're thawing it out. So we get a specific species of fish, like I'm feeding the penguin smelt or something, and when we were doing whales, we were feeding herring, like big fish. So their fishermen are, like, trawling for these certain fishes, but bycatch is when they accidentally are, like, catching things that they're not intending to. So they get caught in the nets, so it can be anything, like, we used to get, like, little sharks and stuff. It was also, like, really cool. But, yeah, it was, like, these random animals that, like, were not supposed to be in there at all. Like, with the smelt, I get, like, little mollusks kind of thingies and, like, I don't know, crazy bivalves and stuff. But on a bigger scale, of course, people are catching up the tiny vaquita and, like, marine mammals and stuff. And they're getting caught in these freaking nets and drowning because they're mammals and they need air.
Yeah, it's a really bad situation. And the way that these nets work is it's sort of like a wall of netting made of either monofilament or multifilament nylon. So if you think about like nylon, like tights you would wear on your legs.
Oh, man.
That's the type of like netting that's used a lot of the time, which means that nothing's going to break through that. You know, like there aren't holes that they can like potentially open and swim through. Like that's a pretty strong, durable material that just catches everything. In addition to that, the nets that are used for that sort of thing are really, really hard to see because they blend in with the water.
Right.
So the animals that are swimming in that area, don't necessarily know they're there. And then by the time they do, it's too late. So that's been a huge, source of their decline. And that's actually the main source of their decline. On top of that, though, just considering pollution, like marine pollution is another huge source of their decline over the years. But I should say that all of these threats that they're facing now and the ones that I'll mention here in a second are essentially just like a million times worse because of how small the population is. Like, it'd be one thing that these threats exist, but with a population that small, the effects are just, again, catastrophic. Like, it's just, it's horrible. So marine pollution is a huge one, both with like pesticide exposure and with plastics in the ocean. In addition, climate change is another one because it leads to, you know, undocumented weather events and like weird currents and things like that that they're not necessarily fully equipped to deal with, especially in such a small population. But another one, like I mentioned before, is inbreeding. With such a small population like that, with them having around 30 individuals, they're all extremely inbred. And the chances of them coming out of that inbreeding situation is not good. Yeah, and because of that, because they are so cognitively advanced, researchers do see some potential. This is still a theory, but some potential signs of depression as well within those animals.
Here's the thing. Yeah. I am depressed because this is bumming me out.
I know.
And one of the things that's, like, heartbreaking, so, like, of course, we're in the animal care industry, so we know a lot about these things, but, and there's species that have gone extinct in our lifetime, and we're still pretty young, I'd like to think.
Yeah, the rhino just happened the other day.
Yes, and then, like, they're, like, just looking at a picture of Vaquita, it's so fucking cute. So, like, we can't even convince people to stop killing cute things. Like, how are we going to get them to stop killing, like, I don't know, like, bugs and, you know, just, like, some uglier stuff. Like, so the fact that even this, like, adorable sea nugget.
Like, charismatic animal.
Yes. He's like a little panda. He looks so cute.
I know. It is very depressing. And I think that's one thing that a lot of us deal with in the animal care industry, like Flora said, is we, you know, we're well-versed with this knowledge. And so we're a lot of times more privy to it than a lot of kind of the general public is. But it's still, like, it can be really depressing. Like, it's unfortunately a fact of our current climate. So it's not great. But I do think, even though it is such a dire situation, it is important to talk about because it can, you know, worst case scenario, we're not able to prevent the vaquita from going extinct. We can hopefully learn from it as
learn humanity. From our mistakes. Yeah.
Exactly. And help those other animals that we maybe can help.
Yeah, the vaquita can be a martyr for all the fucking other sea creatures.
Yeah, it is important to discuss. And there are a few other things that I want to get into kind of related to this. But as far as vaquita specifically, just like the ecological consequences of losing an animal like vaquitas is kind of wide-reaching. So because they live in that small area in the Gulf of California, it's that area is considered a large marine ecosystem. And it has a lot of species diversity. So since there's so much biodiversity in that area, any change of, like, different levels or numbers of different species in that can have effects on all of the animals that live there.
Mm-hmm.
So one example in particular is that sharks are a predator of vaquitas, so they tend to hunt them down and eat them, which makes sense. However, if because there tend to be so few predator species within a habitat for kind of obvious reasons. Since the vaquita population is so small, they're more susceptible to changes in predation from sharks. So, you know, a shark eating one of 30 vaquitas is going to have a bigger effect on the population than a shark eating one of 1,000 vaquitas, right?
Right.
In addition, because they only account for a small percentage of the diet of the sharks that live there, extinction of the vaquita could still potentially have a negative effect on the population size of those sharks. Mm-hmm. Because if they're depending on them for food, then they maybe don't have that food anymore. So it just, sometimes extinction of one animal can lead to the kind of throwing out of balance, like throwing out of whack the populations of others.
For sure.
So it can sometimes lead to potential overpopulations of other prey species due to the decline in the shark species because the vaquita population has declined. So it's sort of like a weird seesaw balancing act where, you know, if one thing goes out of whack, they all do. So that's not so great. It kind of affects everything in the Gulf of California. But obviously, you know, these guys being in such catastrophic decline have got a lot of attention for conservation efforts. So there have been a lot of recovery efforts. And Mexico is leading those conservation efforts
of the vaquita.
Yeah, so awesome job. That's amazing. They're doing a lot of things. One of the biggest ones is to get rid of bycatch, get rid of the ways that fish are caught in that area, which using those types of nets. So, again, the goal is to prevent the accidental death of vaquitas. And they're doing this by outlawing the use of those fishing nets in the vaquita habitat in particular.
Nice.
In addition, I think, what was it, in the boa constrictor episode, we talked about, or I talked about the sites index, or appendix, and that kind of has to do with the effects of, like, trade and goods from an animal and how it relates to their endangered status. So vaquitas are classified in appendix 1, which is, like, the crazy endangered ones that we shouldn't be using their products for any reason. But on top of that, there are a number of other organizations, including the Marine Mammal Protection Act, that are trying their best to nurse the vaquita population back to a sustainable point. So, yeah, there are a lot of things going on. There are a lot of efforts being made to kind of help that. Just in general, though, I do want to touch on some of the other threats that, like, other dolphins face. I mean, they all are threatened by marine pollution. That's pretty obvious. They're all threatened by bycatch issues. They're all threatened by...
Global climate change.
Global climate change, yeah, that's a big one that affects every animal everywhere. But another one that dolphins in particular, and, like, maybe anyone who's listening may have heard of this in the past or in the near... What am I trying to say? Whatever, in the recent times, is dolphin drive hunting. Have you heard of that?
Is that what that movie was about?
Yeah. So that is a specific type of, like, hunting of dolphins. Hold on, I have a thing.
What's that movie called? Like, Blood Dolphin or something?
The Cove?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of the Blood Diamond. Same thing.
Blood Dolphin.
Yeah, but it happens, it's been recorded in Japan, Peru, the Faroe Islands, and Solomon Islands, and it's basically where boats are used to kind of corral a pod of dolphins and sort of drive them toward the shore. Ugh. And then they don't have anywhere to go, and then when they're in really, really shallow water, a lot of them are killed and mm-hmm. used for products. So it tends to kind of be a bit of a bloodbath. And I know there's some controversy surrounding that as far as, like, cultural significance in various areas.
Right.
But just going based off of facts, it is a threat to wild populations.
Yes.
So, regardless of the cultural significance, it is a threat to right. their population. Right,
like, if your human population is increasing drastically and you're still doing the same cultural, like, killing of an animal who's...
Mm-hmm.
not increasing drastically, like, there's gonna be issues.
Yes. So, I know we're in a pretty pretty depressed, dire mindset right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I'm literally gonna go home and cry for days. Like, I'm yeah. just so bummed.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I did want to point out, first off, some really great shout-outs. So, there are a number of ways that we all can help dolphins and vaquitas, like just kind of every species of dolphin and
yes. How
marine
can I
mammals
fix
and
this?
Stuff.
Tell me.
So, one of the best things that you could do is please believe in climate change because it's real, y'all.
It's real as shit.
It's real. I don't understand how people can just, like, blatantly disregard fact in this day and age, but it happens, as yes. we're all aware. So,
they think that
please.
The Earth is flat and that global climate change doesn't exist.
Yeah, and the Earth is, like, 2,000 years old.
Yeah,
okay.
And the Earth was born yesterday.
But, like, I have a note here that says, you know, dolphins are related to hippos 40 million years ago. So how can they both be true?
Yeah, argue that.
But no, it is a reason. It is something that's happening. It is a threat to every single thing that lives on this planet. And it's something that's having drastic effects, whether you see them or not. So please... try to understand different ways of, like, understanding climate change, seeking out the research involved with it, but also, like, ways that you can help mitigate those effects. And there are a number of ways to do that. Maybe we can, I don't know, talk about that another time, but, like, just please be smart and sustainable in your choices that you make in your everyday life. So another thing, oh,
I'm sorry.
So, and that's okay. I'm going to speak now. You stop laughing. So another thing that we can all do specifically to help out wild animals and marine animals in particular is to avoid the use of single-use plastics.
Yes.
So things like plastic straws, plastic cutlery, any plastic whatsoever. Like, please, if you're going to use plastic, try to find something that you can repurpose in some
mm-hmm,
way
mm-hmm.
or recycle it if you can. But things that are single-use, like I said, like... you know, disposable coffee cups, plastic straws, plastic cutlery.
Bag, plastic grocery
plastic
bags.
Plastic bags, yeah, that's a great one. All that stuff cannot be recycled, generally.
No.
So, it just, from the moment that it's created, it will remain on Earth forever.
Yes.
So, please keep that in mind. And unfortunately, a lot of that stuff ends up in the ocean. And I think there was, like, recently a news article, like, last week or something, talking about how big the, like, plastic cache of pollution is
yeah,
in the
insane.
Ocean. Yeah,
and I think
it's
a lot
ridiculous.
Of people, like, argue with themselves, like, oh, well, the plastic's already made. Like, the straw's already made. I'm just going
right.
to use it. But, like, if all of us stopped using it and no one bought it, then they'd go out of business and they'd stop making it. So, like, that's not a good excuse. Like, you're a consumer, you vote with your money, so don't spend money on it. If you're at a restaurant, don't use the straw. Like, that's it.
Exactly. And I think a lot of times, too, it's easy enough if you're removed from the situation. Like, if you're not actually out there cleaning up plastic in the ocean,
yeah.
It's easy enough to forget that that happens. And so, you know, it's super convenient to just think, like, oh, I can just throw this away, and it's, like, out of sight, out of mind kind of thing, but not for the world.
I'm going to put a picture of ocean trash on our Instagram because it's horrific.
I think you should. So that's one really, really great way to help out all marine life. Please avoid using those. Find alternatives to them. There are so many amazing alternatives these days that aren't even that expensive. Just please shop sustainably and think about options on how to, like, live a more earth-friendly life.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, so here's the point where it kind of, like, melds with my shout-outs, because I have several shout-outs.
Perfect.
So, the first one I want to point out is the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
Yes!
Those guys are amazing. They do such good work as far as conservation efforts, research efforts, education and outreach efforts, rehabilitation efforts. They're amazing.
Jesus.
But the one thing I want to talk about in particular is their Seafood Watch. Have you heard of that before?
Yes, they have little cards.
Yes. So, okay, there's a thing, if you guys aren't aware, called Seafood Watch. And Monterey Bay Aquarium kind of seems to have, like, started it.
Yeah.
But it's essentially a program that takes a look at how seafood is harvested in the wild. So it gives you, as a consumer, and as well as, like, businesses that are buying seafood for their customers, it gives them information on the best sources to buy sustainably harvested seafood, which mm-hmm. is amazing, because over-harvesting of seafood is just a general threat to marine populations. But as, we talked about earlier in this episode, harvesting involves bycatch, and so it affects a lot of other animals that aren't necessarily being harvested
yep.
to be eaten. So the Monterey Bay Aquarium website has a ton of information about their Seafood Watch. Like, you can find that little logo of it on, like, tons of different seafood in, like, grocery stores and stuff, and you can go to restaurants that have, like, Seafood Watch seafood, and it gives you
it, like, tells
amazing
you what sushi,
resources.
What, like, sushi is sustainable, and, like, which sushi you should, like, avoid, and all
yeah.
that stuff.
Yeah, it's so cool, and it's
and
such, like, an... Go ahead.
I was just saying, isn't there, like, an app?
There is, yeah. I was just gonna say, there's, like...
Oh my god.
Oh!
Oh my god.
Get them ghosts out of there.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I wish I hadn't.
Oh. That just gave me a heart attack. I have fucking headphones on and a woman just screamed at me. Oh, I'm not in my own home. I hate this.
She's from the Monterey Bay Aquarium. She's like, hey,
what did I say?
I think you were talking about the app, right?
Yeah, and she's like, oh, maybe because I said app.
Maybe. But yeah, I think they do. But just search for Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. And yeah, they have, like, little cards they give out. I'm pretty sure they have an app where you can, like, scan stuff.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's such
so
a good resource. It's 100% free. It's 100% easy. There's no excuse not to use it. Like, just eat sustainable seafood if you're going to eat
mm-hmm.
seafood. There's no reason not to.
Right.
And then, okay, so kind of going more into shout outs, as you mentioned before, Flora, vaquitas are a subject of the SAFE program that AZA did. And I think a couple episodes ago we talked about SAFE. Was it cheetahs?
It was
I don't know.
Literally the last episode.
Oh, cool. yeah, so if you don't know what that is, you can listen to that episode. But vaquitas were a focus of the SAFE program that AZA started. And like Flora said before, it's essentially that the program focuses on, like, 3 or 4 animals, I think, a year. And
yeah.
they basically, like, pour all of their resources into trying to help those.
Mm-hmm.
So one really cool thing is that between 2010 and 2014, 3 different AZA facilities took part in direct field conservation efforts benefiting vaquitas. On top of that, through the SAFE program, AZA zoos have invested over $50,000 in vaquita conservation to date, which is great.
Yeah.
In addition, like I said, Mexico is sort of running or, like, leading the force, like, the conservation force for vaquitas,
right.
which is great. And they've also got a lot of national attention and international attention. So a lot of, like, famous, you know, companies and foundations and stuff are really stepping in to try to help. And I think probably, like, the most famous one, I guess, is Leonardo DiCaprio's organization.
Oh,
is,
what a
like,
cool guy.
Yeah, that he's made a pledge to, like, try and help vaquitas, which is so cool. And then last but not least, shout out. We're going to give SeaWorld a shout out.
Fuck yeah, we are.
SeaWorld does amazing things, and I don't want to hear anyone out there hating on SeaWorld.
No, you're
if you're going
stupid.
To listen to this episode, you're going to listen to the facts that we present you, not the biased opinions of someone who doesn't know what they're talking about, because
some
we're literally
dummy dumb fuck.
Yeah, coming to you with facts. So SeaWorld provides accurate and proper education, outreach, and research. So everything that they do is to fund that aspect of their organization. Like, it's amazing. SeaWorld does amazing work, and stop hating on them. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Their conservation focuses on four different areas. So they rescue ill, orphaned, or injured animals. And if you're interested in any of this, please check out their website. They don't just make wild claims and don't back them up. They back it up with factual data. So look at it. Do your research, please, before you just shit on an organization. They also support research in their facilities and in the wild. And it's been proven that research of their killer whales in their facilities has helped killer whale populations in the wild.
Suck it!
It has been proven, scientifically proven, that it is helping. And you can go to their website and they will link you to the documents that lay that out for you. So you don't just have to take their word for it. In addition, they fund and direct action in conservation in a number of different fields and subjects. They spent millions of dollars conserving wild animals and wild places, and they support critical conservation work on every single damn continent in the world, which is amazing. They partner with a lot of different organizations as well, and again, go to their website to learn more. But on top of that, they educate and inspire their guests.
For sure.
Because, like Flora said, if we can't care about saving this cute-ass vaquita, which is like the cutest thing I've ever seen, how the hell are we going to care about saving something that we don't think is charismatic or cute?
Yeah. And out of sight, out of mind. Like, if you never met these animals and got face-to-face, would you even give a shit? No.
Would you even know about them?
Somebody made some shitty documentary that you could watch on your couch, then you care, I guess.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. Like, you know, through all of these efforts that zoos are doing, and zoos are doing amazing work, including SeaWorld, we have learned so much more about how these animals work, how they live, what helps them, what doesn't help them, you know, what sorts of things we can do to help preserve them. It's ridiculous. Without everything that, like, SeaWorld and other facilities have done and contributed to the conversation, we wouldn't even be having that conversation. So,
right.
Yes, shout out to everyone there, and check out those resources if you want to learn more. And I guess I wanted to close by talking really quickly about some of the marine mammal controversy. I don't want to get too into it because I know that people get really fired up about it. However, regardless of your opinions on cetaceans in zoological settings, the facts are still the same. The facts are still that most of these animals are ranging from vulnerable to critically endangered on the IUCN Red List.
Yep.
And if we don't do something about it, they will go extinct. The vaquita is nearly extinct. And if we can't use that as a case to learn from our mistakes and learn how best to take care of them, then we don't deserve to live here. That's just ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
It makes me sick. So please, everyone, when it comes to videos like The Cove, like Blackfish, that are presented as factual documentaries, which they're not, by the way, like, please,
no.
Please follow up and do your research. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe us if you don't want to. Go fact check everything we talk about. In fact, I encourage you to.
Yeah.
But it's ridiculous, the amount of hate and boycotting and just derision that amazing facilities like SeaWorld is getting when they're actually doing their work.
Right.
The work that's helping them. Like, if we all spent all of the time and energy, you know, working together to help these animals, because that's what we all want to do. We all want to help them. We all have the same goal. But if we all focus the efforts in the correct way, then we would actually help them. But instead, we're left bickering with one another about things, about facts that are one-sided facts and one-sided are not, one-sided opinions. Like, we could be spending that time, money, resources, energy to actually saving them.
Mm-hmm. Like, if even half of the people who complain on the internet about SeaWorld donated like a single dollar to saving the vaquita or saving something,
exactly,
they would make a huge difference. But they're not. They're just there to like stir the pot and to cause controversy and to like whine because of a movie they watched. And people need to realize that documentaries serve a purpose to sway you to their side. I mean, I watched The Cove. I even watched Blackfish when I was working with whales, when we would get death threats sent to us in the mail. And you can tell that there's, like, an agenda that they're pushing. And at the end of the day, the person who made Blackfish did not donate any of the money she raised towards saving any wild animal, saving any animal in general. She kept it all for herself. That was a documentary made to make herself money. And that's all it was. She had no interest in saving any animals.
Yeah, the documentary was meant to prey on people's emotion and sensationalize an already controversial topic.
Yes.
And can I just say really quickly as well, as far as, like, in reference to the whole animals, like, these, the killer whales there are forced to, like, do tricks and stuff. First off, everything that they do, they would naturally do on their own in the wild.
Yes.
It's just through methods of positive reinforcement that that behavior is assigned to a cue. And their trainers ask them for it. It's always a conversation in training. An animal is never forced to do anything they don't want to do.
No.
Especially in facilities like SeaWorld.
How do you force an orca to do something? It weighs, what did you say, like 1,100 fucking pounds? You can't.
It weighs 11 tons.
Oh, it's 11 tons. I said 1,100 pounds.
A little bit more than that. But no, you're exactly right. Plus, why would we want to? I think we said in a previous episode, none of us went through all the schooling, paid a dick load of money in student loans, did all this unpaid experience just to come out here and harm animals. None of us are doing that. That's so ass backwards and bizarre. Like, literally, as far as training goes, it's completely voluntary. And if those animals don't want to do it, then they don't. And the trainer's like, okay, that's cool.
Well, and there's no way to win, like, when you think about, because, like, I literally I worked with whales when this fucking movie came out, so I have experienced every argument. I've gotten in arguments at bars. I've seen people just yell at me when I'm in my uniform. We've been through it all. But, like, you can't win. So there's the argument that, hey, you're forcing these animals to do all these quote-unquote tricks when they're natural behaviors. Okay, so you want me to leave it alone in a pool that you're saying is not enough stimulation? Like, I'm stimulating it mentally and physically, but you're against that. In the movie, they said that they built underwater treadmills for the whales. Well, people are like, oh my gosh, you're torturing them. They're making them swim on these treadmills. When the trainers were like, well, you guys said that we, like, they travel for miles, so we built them this thing so they could swim for miles on it. And they, like, they go on it when they want to. But in your opinion, you're like, no, that's terrible. So, like, there's never any way to win. Like, people always just twist it into this shitty thing. Like, you can't argue that they're so smart, they're so intelligent. But then, oh, if you're, like, harnessing their intelligence and, like, testing them and exercising that, then, like, that's abusive. So it's just, like, I don't...
Well, I think it's the same rationale as we talked about with cheetahs. In the facility that we worked with, we gave them the option to run if they wanted to, because that's something that they naturally do in the wild. We never forced them to run. And what we saw more often than not is they didn't do it. They didn't run. Because, again, it's something that... Yes, whales have the ability to migrate hundreds of miles in their pod, but they do it because they have to.
Right.
You know, and if they want to and they have the option of, like, for example, an underwater treadmill, then they'll use it. That's great. That's all the better to give them those options. It gives them choice in their environment. Yeah. It's so important to mental welfare. Yeah. I mean, we could talk about this forever, but...
I know. I want to make one more point, though. So a lot of the things with, like, orcas in captivity, people always talk about their longevity, their age.
Mm-hmm.
And they always are like, well, there's that one whale who's like 100 years old. Yeah, well, my fucking great-grandfather lived 102, bitch. But did your fucking, like, did everybody? No, like, there are people, different people live different ages. Yeah, like, that's so fucking infuriating to me. Like, well, that one died when it was 10. Yeah, because of fucking cancer. Like, what do you think? Like, not everybody lives till, like, the absolute end of time. And people are like, wow, well, a lot of animals die there. Fucking spoiler alert. Here it is. All animals die. Like, none of them are immortal. They're all going to die. So don't be like, wow, that facility has a lot of animals dying. Yeah, because that's what happens.
That's what happens when you take care of them through the end of their life.
Yes.
But do you think we're just going to pitch out the old ones on the street and be like, nah, see ya?
I don't actually want you to die here. It's bad press. Please go to another zoo or outside.
Yeah, and on top of that, like you said, receiving, like, death threats and just horrible things. Like, horrible comments and people picketing. And, like, one of the worst things I think that you and I have both experienced in our career is when the unfortunate situation happens and an animal that you've loved with or loved and cared, you haven't loved with, dear God.
Please
with
no.
An animal that you've loved and cared for years ends up eventually reaching the end of its life. And we announce it to our guests to keep them in the loop is when we get people insulting us and blaming us and telling us that we deserve to go to hell and we should die. And it's so ass backwards to me.
I know. It's so weird to me.
It's so insensitive and ridiculous.
Well, the internet is such a toxic place. There's so, it is. So many fewer of those people would actually say those things in real life. But, like, the sense of, like, secrecy or whatever, just not being face-to-face is another thing. But there's actually people who would legit say that to our faces and have.
Yeah.
I mean, I have met people, and when I tell them I'm a zookeeper, they're like, oh. And then, like, what are they? They're like a fucking fracker. Like, are you serious? You're killing the whole goddamn earth, and I'm, like, trying to save it? Like, and you're giving me the shit eye? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, meanwhile, they're drinking out of a plastic water bottle with 10 straws.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
And they have, like, 7 dogs in their house that are crate trained, but, you're against animals in captivity. That's fine.
I think we could talk about this for a while.
I know, but I think hyped up.
I know, and that was one of the reasons I wanted to, like, make this topic a little more broad, like, this animal a little more broad, because there are a lot of things, obviously, that are intrinsically connected to it, but the most important thing that we can leave you with are the ways that you can help them. Hopefully the facts that you've learned about them have, like, inspired some change in you. Hopefully learning about their conservation status have inspired you to, you know, make changes in your life or talk to your friends and family about ways that they can make changes that will positively impact, like, not just the world, but, like, the animals within them. And just in general, please, in addition to those things, please, please, please do your research. Please be a factual-minded person. Please contribute to the conversation as opposed to insulting those who are.
Yes.
Because that's not doing anything. Like Flora said, if everyone who is sitting there getting their panties in a wad talking about, you know, typing up, like, rude insults on the internet, if they actually spent that time either learning about the information that they're spouting off incorrectly, or donating money, or donating their time, or helping spread words of ways to help these animals, then we would actually make an impact. But unfortunately, it's this horrible, like, bickering that's happening, and it's not helpful for anyone. So
no.
Please just keep that in mind. I know this episode, like, got a little serious and, like, feisty, but at the same time, like, it's important to talk about those things.
Yes. And I think, too, like, that's one of the purposes that we started this was, like, informing people of this stuff. So if you have questions and you don't want to do research because you're lazy as shit, which, like, same, you can totally email us. We can do it for you and get back to you if you ever have a question or if you see a video on the internet that you're not, like, not sure about. I did start us a Twitter, and, like, we're on Twitter, and then we're on iTunes. Did I say that already?
I think so, but yeah, it's worth mentioning.
Yeah, we're on iTunes, and we're on Stitcher,
and Instagram.
Instagram, and we have a Gmail. So, yeah, if you ever have any questions or, you know, you saw something or heard something and you just don't know, you can definitely ask us, and we would
If nothing else, we can, like, direct you toward, like, a proper resource.
Yes, exactly. Yes, totally.
Yeah, so, that was my animal for the week.
It's what it is, right? Like, I mean, we're saying, like, we're like, oh, it's depressing. But, I mean, like, that sucks. It fucking sucks. But that's what it is. Yeah. That's what we're doing. We're lice on the earth, and we're killing the vaquita.
I know. You know, and that's not to say that there's, like, no hope for them. They are in pretty dire straits, but, you know, you never know. Crazier things have happened. But again, I think it's a really useful tool to think about the future and how we can do better. So
yeah.
So that was my animal of the week, dolphins. I hope you learned something cool about them. Like Flora said, please check out all of those platforms. If you want to learn more information, if you just want to, like, send us hate mail, I guess send it there. I don't know. I mean, we're happy to address just about everything. But yeah, if you enjoy this type of conversation just with all of our episodes and you do want to hear more, like she said, please check us out on any of those podcast apps. Like, iTunes is a great one. I think just about everyone's heard of that. But any that you use is great. If you can let people know, like, any of your friends and family you think would, like, be interested, that's cool too. Anything like that just allows our stupid asses to be heard by more people. So that's great. And then, as always, like, check out our Instagram, because we post, like, goofy shit on there all the time. But thank you, everyone, for joining us this week. We had a good time chatting and learning about stuff, and I hope you learned some stuff. But I think next week, Flora, you'll be presenting your
animal. I will. And I always have something in my head that I'm going to do. And then, and by you always, this is like episode 4. But every time you've gone after me and like I have the next one planned, you do something so similar.
Oh,
that I'm like,
really?
Well, better change it. Yeah. And then in my head too, like earlier, I was like thinking this morning when I was at the zoo, I was like, what am I going to do? And I was like, oh, I'll do the I, because like that starts with an E. No, it fucking doesn't. It starts with an A. I'm the dumbest person.
Hey, we're learning again right along there with you. I was also going to say before we go that, you know, beyond doing this podcast with you and yeah, just like being zookeepers have really given us a strong purpose in life.
Oh my God, you always do this stuff.
I know. Okay, listen up here though, people. When we said that we'd be making jokes, we didn't say they'd be funny.
God.
I never said I was funny.
And that's just like the tip of the fucking iceberg with you because you've got
really
puns for days and they just don't even know. So get ready for that.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, dudes. See you later. If you liked it, check it out. Good. If you didn't, great. Bye.
Cool. Smell you later.